Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, joining us from Citi Field in New York. Before we hear from John, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now it's time for our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle from New York. Well, John, the Giants finally win a game on this road trip. And, you know, yeah, the road trip started with winning 2 out of 3 in L.A. It was looking pretty well. But then, you know, the Reds just steamrolled the Giants there for 3 games and losing the first 2 against the Mets. It just wasn't looking great. And it wasn't looking great until the 9th inning when the Giants came back and Christian Arroyo is the hero with that big bases-clearing double, and they still had to hang on in the game on Wednesday afternoon in New York. At the end there, they gave up a couple of runs, and they win by 1 run. So, you know, what does that last game of a road trip, you think, what does that do for the team, especially the way things have been going?
They were really burying themselves this trip after leaving L.A. 3 losses in Cincinnati. A loss Wednesday would have meant consecutive series sweeps, 0-6. And yeah, if you check the numbers, you know, through 34 games before Wednesday, you know, the team was 11-23. Well, that was the worst 34-game start since 1972. And 1972, through 34 games, they were 10-24. Now, if you remember, May of 1972, that's when they trade Willie Mays. Things were so bad with the record and with Horace Stoneham, who didn't have enough money to run a team. He was trying to sell, finally did in 1976. Well, this was Willie Mays' last month as a San Francisco Giant. He was traded to the Mets on May 11th, 1972. So we're right about that anniversary. So this was a team in transition back in the 70s, they, you know, with Marichal and Perry and Cepeda gone and Mays next. And it was really a rebuild, and they were pretty bad, even with the great Mays. So they traded Mays, and they started 10-24. And this year, despite a team that supposedly was built to win a World Series or at least give it a good run, you know, the worst start since that 72 team that had to trade Mays because they were so bad and so financially strapped. So I don't see him trading Posey or Bumgarner or any of those guys. I think they're doing fine financially. They still think there's hope. But, yeah, the last game of a series before they jump on a plane is always great to win on getaway day, but especially when a win comes along to avoid an 0-6 finish to a trip.
And the note that came out was, I think, pretty surprising to people that the Giants had lost 133 consecutive games when trailing after 8 innings. That's almost hard to believe. I mean, it's been a couple of years since they've been able to win a game like that back in 2015, where they were trailing after 8 and they did it against the Miami Marlins. Now they do it against the Mets today. I mean, you would think that they'd have more comeback wins late than that, but it had been such a long time.
Yeah, and this stat is only trailing after 8 innings. It's not tied going into the 9th. It's not trailing once you get to the 9th or once you get to extra innings and then overcoming that. No, it's trailing after 8 innings entering the 9th. the Giants were 0-19 this year, 0-133 going back to that Mother's Day game 2 years ago to the date when he got his Duffman bat and,
Matt Duffy,
hit a walk-off single.
Right.
Yeah, Matt Duffy, yeah. And 2 years ago to the day, the Giants finally broke the string and won a game in which they trailed after eight innings. And it took a kid who was 21 years old to do it, a kid who was 19 and an A-ball the last time the Giants did it.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Do you want to go to the perfect restaurant and bakery before a Giants game? Why not go to the place where Matt Cain ate before he threw his perfect game? That's Towns End Restaurant and Bakery. It's true, I'm not making this up. On June the 13th, 2012, Matt Cain had a great meal at Towns End, then took the mound down the road at AT&T Park and tossed the first perfect game in Giants history. Your meal can be just as effective after you choose one of their homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. Towns End also serves cage-free Petaluma eggs. For 26 years, Towns End has been capturing the spirit of San Francisco with consistent quality from their family-run business. Serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and brunch on Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Towns End is located right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. Eat at Towns End Restaurant and Bakery, and who knows, perhaps you can be perfect that day too. Well, now you have a kid who's a hero, Christian Arroyo, who, you know, basically is ready to take over the spot that Matt Duffy had at third base.
And he was the
hero today. And, you know, he's had some dramatic moments so far. He's only been in the big leagues here for a couple of weeks or so. And he's had these dramatic moments. Now, his batting average isn't what he would like so far. And he's made some mistakes defensively, but he's also made some really nice plays. So what do you think of his progress so far? I mean, there's a long way to go, and it seems like he's got enough confidence that he can deal with, you know, a little slump or maybe not the batting average he would like, and he can still come up big in a situation like he did today in New York.
Yeah, he gets extra base hits. He drives the ball. He said in spring training in an interview I did with him that power is the last tool. Now, he runs a little bit. He defends well. He's got a good arm. He's a shortstop by trade. He hits, but he hasn't hit with power. What, three home runs last year in Double-A? Not an easy league to hit a lot of home runs in. But, as he said, and as the Giants seconded, power is the last of the tools to develop. Well, it suddenly developed because he's got six already, right, including in Triple-A. Doubling his output from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wednesday game, he just roped the ball into the gap. Even Buster Posey scored from first base, and this is after he hit a ball off his foot. So he wasn't running well, but it was hit so hard and so far and so nicely in the gap that Posey scores from first base. And as you mentioned, they gave up a couple runs in the ninth, in the bottom half, so that Posey run was very important. But, you know, it's funny how baseball works, how just a day-to-day thing can change the environment and the vibe on a team. I mean, they were looking to head home 0-6, as I mentioned in the Chronicle, with their daubers down, an old Roger Craig line.
Right.
But there they were, winning in the end in dramatic style. And Arroyo is the real deal. Yeah, his average is low, but he always seems to get the right hit at the right time. You know, he's got the home runs. He got his first hit off Clayton Kershaw, for goodness sakes. And his very first game, he was hitless, but he moved a guy from second to third, and the next guy hit a sacrifice fly, and the Giants win a game. So he does things that help a team win. As his teammates said, the best compliment you can give him is he's a ball player. You know, he's a smart, intelligent, wise man of 21 going on 28, and he does all the right things on the field as if he's been playing the game at this level for a long, long time.
He does look like that, and he gives you a good at-bat every time. And can you imagine if the Giants had blown this game? I mean, they come back, and, you know, they're down by a run, and they score four runs there in the ninth inning. They've got a three-run lead. Now, Mark Melancon was just put on the DL the other day with this, what is it again? I forgot. it's something with his elbow, but
strain
it's
of the pronator.
Pronator. The, there you go.
Which runs from the outer elbow toward the forearm. And
how serious is this? You think, by the way.
Well, serious enough that the manager thinks he could be ready when eligible on the 16th.
Okay.
It's backdated. It's a 10-day DL, so the 16th is coming up, but less than a week from now, and he thinks it might be a week or two. But shoot, a guy who says he felt this in his elbow area since spring training, I don't know. It sounds like something that would take a little longer, and the Giants are always cautious on these kinds of things. You remember Brandon Crawford? He was supposed to come back when eligible, but he didn't. This was last Saturday. And next thing you knew, he was in AA Richmond playing a couple of rehab games. And then he returns to the team Wednesday and still doesn't play. So that plan is for Crawford to suit up and finally get in the lineup Wednesday, which means the kid Arroyo would move to third base. So Arroyo's gotten 7 starts in the big leagues at shortstop. Pretty impressive. And he's very good. He's got a real good arm. He's got range. And he just knows the game so well. He anticipates well. And that's going to get him a long way in this game. But I think third base is his position. He's got real good reflexes, real good instincts, the arm of a shortstop. And maybe when he does develop this more intense power, it'll be the perfect position for a run producer.
More with John Shea in just a moment.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right, Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee State Farm a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee State Farm.
As I was thinking, I mean, can you imagine if they had blown this after all that coming back and the dramatic hit, and then Derek Law gives up a couple of runs there, and they don't have Melanson, so they've got to figure this out. So is Derek Law getting the first shot at it? I mean, Hunter Strickland actually has pretty good numbers, although the other day he ended up taking the heat because, you know, gave up that game-winning hit in New York. So I don't know that they really have an answer there. It's kind of like while Melanson is out, it's sort of like last year all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, Law was the guy. Don't say that, right? Law was the guy Wednesday, but Bochy said after the game that it still could be a rotation of people, a committee of people, using matchups, could be a left-hander.
That's like last year. That's 2016.
Yeah, like last year, which not the formula to succeed.
Right.
But they're hoping this is not going to be over the long haul like it was toward last year in the final weeks and months when things just weren't going right. And then, of course, in the division series, when they really melted down, which led to the acquisition of Melanson. And despite, it doesn't matter how good Melanson is, he can't help a team that has the worst record in baseball if the worst record in baseball doesn't have starting pitchers going deep in the games, doesn't have offenses that will score 4 or more runs on a constant basis, and doesn't have defense that could pick up the ball. Remember during this trip here, during like a 7-game stretch, they made 8 errors. So it's not just the pitching, it's not just the hitting, it's the defense too that needs to get its act together.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part one of our 2-part conversation. We'll hear from John again on Thursday, and he'll tell us about the interview he had with Giants general manager Bobby Evans. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks again for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.